Hello, and welcome to a roundtable discussion on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bruntall. In this episode, we have a lively conversation on a topic we hope you'll find interesting.
So, this past weekend, as we record this, Bob, you just went to the Long Beach Convention, first one they've had of that, the Long Beach Comic Con, actually. How was it?
I really enjoyed it. It was a great, smaller show. It was mostly comics, very comic-oriented. I would say, you know, I don't know, you go to San Diego with me all year. What is San Diego, maybe about 50% comics?
I think even that's being generous, and it really depends how you define it. I mean, is the Marvel booth comics, or was it promoting the movie this year?
Yeah, true. But, I mean, that's a knock against that people have against San Diego, right, is that there's too much media, too much video games, too much Hollywood. And, you know, on one hand, sure, but it's such a huge show that the, you know, 30 or 40% of comics that there's left over is more than most other shows. And the one thing I give San Diego credit for is they have lots of really solid comics programming, you know, panel-wise. Now, this show, the Long Beach one, I would say, again, you know, a good 75, 80% comics. I mean, they had one wrestling ring set up in the back corner for, I don't know why, but apparently lots of comic fans like wrestling, had some WWE wrestlers, and that seemed to be popular. There was one Nintendo booth. There was some Hollywood stuff. They had some movie panels and stuff, and Seth Green was there. They had a Robot Chicken panel and things like that. But, you know, and then there were the ubiquitous Hollywood types signing autographs down the one side. You know, you got your Lou Ferrigno and, you know, guy who played Boomer, you know, kind of thing. It's just like Reb Brown and, you know, who was Garrett Wang, you know, various of these guys were there signing autographs. But other than that, good comics content. A lot of the local L.A., Southern California publishers were there. We had Arkea. We had Boom Studios. We had IDW, who's also down in San Diego. Top Cow, Aspen, you know, these were, you know, a nice presence. Marvel and DC, while they didn't have booths there, they did some panels. So there was like a DC Nation panel. Bob Wayne was there. So I think he was the designated, you know, DC voice that came out for that. And they had some pretty decent comics name, you know, quote unquote, people out there. You know, we had Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. We had Doug Monkey, Steve Niles, Mark Wade, Peter Tomasi, Philip Tan, Dustin Nguyen, Jim Lee, Jeff Loeb, Jeff Johns, Tim Bradscreet, J. Scott Campbell, Mike Choi, and Stan Lee was there to cut the ribbon on Friday, you know, officially opening the convention. And then he was there signing autographs. I think they were selling tickets to that. I didn't really look into that too much since I've already met Stan a couple of times and gotten autographs. I didn't really go into that part. But very nice, since it's a smaller show, they had a lot better access to the creators, with the probably sole exception of Jim Lee. There was a huge line for Jim Lee on Saturday. Really long. I mean, he was talking to everybody, but wow, it was big. J. Scott Campbell also and Jeff Loeb had pretty good-sized lines on Saturday. But on Sunday, I was able to walk right up to J. Scott Campbell and talk to him and get some stuff signed, pick up his latest sketchbook and like that. David Peterson from Mouse Guard was there, very accessible. Norm Breyfogle was there, doing one of our favorite books, Booster Gold. Not Norm Breyfogle. Sorry, Norm Ratmond.
Ah, I was going to say, Breyfogle did Batman back in the day.
Yeah. Those darn Norms. Norm Ratmond. Sorry, Norm. He did a Zatanna sketch for me. A beautiful Zatanna sketch. And, you know, just the other thing that was really nice about the show was the artist alley was extremely large for the size of the show. I think we were talking before. So it was, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, essentially 6 aisles, you know, with people on both sides of each aisle. So it's maybe, now there's only 6 spaces on each side of an aisle. So on each table, there's 6. So on either side, you'll have 12.
Right. I'm looking at the floor plan now because I went to the website, and I'll have a link to the website in the show notes. It's longbeachcomiccon.com. So it's 6 down, but it's also got 2 on each end, which would be right. The equivalent of another, you know, 2 aisles or whatever. So it's, I would say, roughly the equivalent of maybe half the size of the Artist Alley at San Diego. But for the amount of floor space they've got, it's you know, like a third
about
of
a
it.
Like a third of the floor. So I thought it was great because, you know, you had mixed in, you had the smaller indie guys who were, you know, selling their self-published stuff or, you know, their small press books. And I was able, you know, listen to the pitch from these guys. And I bought several of the books. I might do a separate round table or something in a few weeks talking about some of the small books, smaller creator books that I picked up. But, you know, pretty nice selection.
Cool. Sounds good.
You know, that the front area there, that was mostly, if you're looking at the floor plan, you know, where it says Aspen and Nintendo, that area up at the front, you know, that area was most of the publisher / you know, book for, like, Barnes and Noble had a booth up there, for instance. You know, Arkea had their booth and all those kind of guys. And then the places along the sides of the Artist Alley, that was the dealers. Some pretty good dealers there on Sunday. I hit a couple of people that had 50-cent books. Came away with about 75 50-cent books. Another guy had older Silver Age stuff that I collect, and he was selling them, like some of the, you know, like more like very good fine condition for $10 a piece, but $8 if you bought at least 10 of them. And I got some actually pretty nice books. I got the first appearance of Animal Man from Strange Adventures. I got from Showcase, really old one, the Dr. Fate and Hourman team up.
Cool.
And, you know, a couple of the old Spectre appearances from Showcase, and I even got the third appearance of Enemy Ace from Showcase. And, you know, it's like $8 a piece. And these books, you know, were, you know, guiding at that, you know, probably in the, you know, $30 to $40 range. So got some pretty good deals on some books.
Now, did they have a good selection of back issues? Because it's one of the things with San Diego, even though it's got a huge exhibit hall floor, they've kind of, you know, segmented as to what you can find. You can find some Golden Age, some Silver Age, but there are a lot of things that used to be ubiquitous on the hall floor, you know, 5-10 years ago, that with the cost of the booths just, you know, isn't practical these days for retailers to bring.
There were, well, Harley Yee was there, I believe. And he has a lot of the older stuff. Not necessarily, I mean, good quality stuff, but not necessarily the cheapest stuff that, you know, you could ever get. There were, I would, you know, probably about 3 or 4 dealers selling the silver bronze stuff. You know, some decent stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there were a couple, 3-4 guys that had 50-cent and dollar bins, as well as new comics. And, you know, there were people that had some pretty good deals on some toys and things like that. You know, so the DC Direct figures, I picked up, you know, I forget what the line was called, but the one that had like the Blue Devil and the old Walt Simonson Manhunter.
That might have been like the History of the DC Universe, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. History of the DC, $5 a piece.
Wow.
So I was like, I didn't order those, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I picked up, you know, I picked up a Manhunter and a Blue Devil. I already had a Silver Age looking Green Arrow, so I skipped that one. You know, and they had, you know, some of the old, you know, Batman and Superman ones from that line, and you know, the ones that I already had. But I did pick up a Blue Devil and a Manhunter. There are some pretty good deals on that kind of stuff. A lot of artists doing sketches for, you know, some of them not that much money, some of them a bit more. You know, I got a couple of sketches in my Spider-Man book for $10 or $20 a piece from actually a couple of artists that I had bought Zatanna sketches for off of eBay, of all places. I recognized their names, and I, you know, talked to them a little bit about that. And then, you know, they both did, you know, one did Carnage and the other one did Doc Ock in my Spider-Man sketchbook.
Cool.
And then Doug Seurat, who does, he's doing the color art on the Hercules Knives of Kush. Mm-hmm. He was there, and he did a really nice Red Sonja for me. And Buzz, I got a Red Sonja from him. Now, Richard Starkings was there from Elephant Men.
Uh-huh.
And he's a really nice guy. And, you know, I was talking to him a little bit about Elephant Men. He did a sketch of Ebony, which is an elephant character from Elephant Men, strangely. Although one of the main characters in Elephant Men is a hippo, Hip Flask, but, you know, an elephant guy. And, you know, like I said, David Peterson from Mouse Guard was there. They had a special Long Beach lithograph limited to 75 copies that they sold 25 a day of Mouse Guard. And it's looks like Liam riding on the back of a duck flying. It's pretty funny. I picked up one of those and got a couple of additions to my Redheads of the Marvel Universe jam piece. So all in all, I had a good time there. There wasn't as many panels as San Diego, and that's one thing that I, you know, would like to see them beef up a little bit over the years as they do more of these. But you know, all in all, it was good. You know, they had each day a couple of things that I was interested in seeing. One of the highlights for me, I mean, they had the DC Nation panel, you know, that Bob Wayne and Ian Sattler and Jim Lee actually were the panelists on Saturday. And then 50 questions in 50 minutes with Mark Wade. That one was the highlight for me. And then Burke Breathed was there because that Bloom County book came out this week that IDW is putting out. The kind of Bloom County archives, I guess.
Right, the collection and stuff, yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, would I go again? I will definitely go again. I thought it was an outstanding first show for these guys. Long Beach Convention Center is a beautiful convention center. It was really nice weather. You know, right across the street from Long Beach Harbor. And that whole area has been built up quite a lot since, I guess this is the convention center where the first Wizard World LA was held. Back, I don't know what, like 5-6 years ago, whenever the first Wizard Con had happened. And before they moved it up to the LA Convention Center and then subsequently aborted it. But really nice area. They've got all kinds of restaurants real close by, you know, for your benefit. They've got P.F. Chang's over there, which I know they've got a gluten-free menu for you.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's funny you mention that because that is something that, you know, I've got to think about whenever I go to conventions is, am I going to be able to eat or am I going to starve to death?
Yeah.
So having, you know, a good restaurant selection nearby is, I think, very important.
Yeah. So there's an Islands across the street. which, you know, you could eat, you know, you could get a high protein platter there, some fries, you know, you got, Famous Dave's barbecue, you got, Bubba Gump shrimp, you got, PF Chang's, you know, a lot, mostly chain restaurants, but, you know, a nice selection of them and, just a really nice setting. I think they did an admirable job putting the convention on. Now, as far as attendance goes, it seemed, I don't know what the official attendance records are of it, but I'll say that it had a good number of people at it. And when I say that, I mean, it wasn't so many people that you felt claustrophobic like you do sometimes on the floor at San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, where there's just so many people you feel like you can't, you know, you're like on Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras almost, you know, level of people where you're just totally crowded in by humanity on trying to move from point A to point B. Now, the other end of that spectrum would be, you know, kind of like an absence of people where there's like nobody and you're walking up these huge empty aisles that are devoid of all humanity. And that is not good either because, you know, that's not healthy for the show. And it, you know, you kind of feel alone. And it was in the middle, you know, there was a decent number of people always going around. And, you know, when I'd go up to the various artists, in some cases I'd be able to walk up. In other cases, there'd be a person or two already there having a conversation, but that's fun too because you can kind of stand there and you wait and you kind of listen and, you know, see how that conversation's going or whatnot, and then that person will move on and you kind of, you know, move into the spot. But there was a pretty continual flow of people for the most part coming in and browsing the booths and talking to the retailer. So I thought it had a good amount of people. Maybe could have had a little more, probably for the benefit of the con. You know, they probably would have liked having a little more. One thing I did like is I was able to get there an hour before the convention and park in the parking structure underneath. So it wasn't so crowded that there was no parking.
Right, right. Now, how much did it cost to go to the convention?
I believe it was $45 because I got a press badge for it, so I didn't have to pay the benefit of doing this show. But I believe it was $45 for a weekend pass, which was Friday. It opened at 3, went to, I think, 6 or 7, and then it was open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the weekend days, Saturday and Sunday. Actually, it was up until 6 p.m. on Saturday and 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Cool.
But, you know, reasonable. It seems to be like kind of a standard price for these things. Parking was $10 under the convention center. Really handy because, you know, just out down the elevator, and I was able to kind of shift things back and forth between my car. You know, I brought various things to get autographs on and, you know, other kind of things, and it was just easy to kind of shuffle back and forth.
Right, right.
You know, decent amount of freebies. IDW was handing out some really nice Rocketeer posters, kind of on a thick cardstock too, not on, you know, thin poster paper.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty large Rocketeer posters because they're doing that. We talked about it a couple of months ago on the previews episode, that complete Rocketeer.
Yeah, when's that scheduled to come out?
I think it's scheduled to come out pretty soon, either October. I would imagine October because we didn't talk about it last month, I don't think.
It was at least not the last one but the one before that. So
I'm thinking October, November time frame. They had that. Arkea was giving out a lot of free comics. They had a bunch of copies of Mouse Guard they were giving out to people. You know, second and third printings, but, you know, still very nice copies of Mouse Guard being given out. And then they were giving out copies of the first issue of Titanium Rain. that they had left. And, you know, because that's going to come out. They're going to do the combined 1 plus 2. So, you know, it's good. You know, they have some extras of 1. They were handing those out to people and get people hooked on it, because that's a great series, too. Same thing as Mouse Guard. You know, Mouse Guard's a great series. Archaea, they do some really nice stuff. You know, Boom, they had a really strong presence. You know, like I said, you know, Wade was there on Saturday doing his panel. Ross Ritchie was there as the publisher each day. Now, to Boom's compliment, you know, they have taken on the mantle of, you know, the preeminent, to me, it seems like the preeminent kids comic publisher with the Disney and Pixar licenses. And, you know, they're just going out of their way to do comics that are going to get, you know, the next generation of comic fans built up. And there were a lot of people there with kids. And I'll tell you what, I saw little kids holding their Mickey Mouse comic and walking around with it, you know, that they got from Boom, or they'd have a, you know, an Incredibles comic or a Muppet comic. And I thought that was great. You know, a lot of them had copies of Mouse Guard too, but you know, they were drawn to those Disney comics.
Well, I mean,
they know it from the movies, you know,
well,
and that
or
makes
in
sense.
Southern California from Disneyland.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
well, you know, look at Mickey Mouse. I mean, Mickey Mouse has probably got like one of the highest Q ratings of any character out there. I mean, he's probably got like 95%+ recognition almost anywhere you go. So having a Mickey Mouse comic book, kids know who Mickey Mouse is.
Well, I think he's in like the top 5 or whatever. And I don't know the order, but I think it's like Mickey Mouse, Superman, Sherlock Holmes, Tarzan, and somebody else. You know. Yeah.
So it just makes good sense to do those kind of comics for kids. And, you know, they're good comics.
Well, and it grows the audience, literally. Because, you know, what we lack these days is a good kind of feeder system for getting new people into comics and get them at an early age. And you're right. I mean, Boom has such a great lineup of stuff. Again, between the Mickey Mouse, the Muppets, the Pixar, I mean, all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad to see that's starting to work out for them pretty well.
Oh, another thing that was there, it was really, you know, the Atomic Comics chain in Phoenix and the Golden Apple chain in L.A. I don't know if there's like some kind of official business relationship there, but they had kind of a combined booth space. They're calling it Atomic Apple. And they actually had, they were the ones who sponsored and brought in J. Scott Campbell and Jeff Loeb, and they were signing at their booth. They also brought in several other, kind of self-published artists, some of them who I knew from Phoenix, going to the Phoenix Con, and they were there all weekend. There was probably at any given time, at least 2 people at the Atomic Apple booth doing free sketches for kids.
Cool.
And they were doing nice sketches. I mean, I know this one guy, his name is Benjamin Glenn Denning, and he's a really nice guy. Met him in Phoenix, and he has Skulljammer Studios, and he's working on some properties. I don't think he has anything published yet, but he does a lot of sketch cards in the various, you know, Star Wars sets or whatnot that come out, Indiana Jones, you know, these different sets that come out. But he does really nice work. And he's doing art, you know, little kid, you know, oh, I like Ghost Rider. I mean, he did, like, I was standing there when he was doing this Ghost Rider for this kid. And this kid was tickled pink. I mean, he did this, like, kick-ass Ghost Rider and even kind of, like, drew some orange on the flames and everything. You know, so people brought their kids there, and I think they had generally a really good time at this show. You know, there was just all kinds of things like that, you know, there wasn't anything there that I came away with a negative impression about.
Well, that's good,
you know,
to hear.
It was a really nice show. They did a really good job of it, and like I said, you know, for anyone who's a comics fan in the Los Angeles area, I would strongly recommend, you know, going out of your way to hit at least a day of the show on next year. Now, one thing I'll kind of maybe close with here is, you know, like any show that's a weekend show, Saturday is the hot day, right? Saturday was a lot more crowded, you know, because Friday afternoon, the show starts at 3. You know, you're in Los Angeles. You know, Friday afternoon traffic, I don't think a lot of people are going to necessarily try to come, especially since it was only open till 7 on Friday. I think that they would have been better off keeping it open until like maybe 9 o'clock on Friday, kind of like preview night at San Diego.
Right.
You know, so that people could have had a chance, because I think what maybe happened was, I mean, I took the afternoon off, which gave me a chance to go out there, and I picked up my badge and stuff, but I had something else to do, so I couldn't stay. But, you know, I think a lot of people, because I talked to people who were there Friday night, and they said it was not that heavily trafficked, you know, keeping it open later on Friday I think would have been a good idea. Now, Saturday, very well populated. And that's when, you know, like Jim Lee was only there on Saturday. Mark Wade was only there on Saturday. You know, some of the big names were only there on Saturday. And, you know, if you want to see those people, you come on Saturday. That said, Sunday was like any Sunday at a show, right? And, you know, you like to shop like I do, right?
Yeah.
And you know what that means is Sunday is when the – you know, like the $5 DC Direct figures came out. They weren't they were $5 on Sunday. That's when I got them.
Ah.
You know, the 50-cent box came, you know, came out, you know, and, you know, things like that. So there were some really good deals to be had on Sunday. And that's a reason to go to one of these shows on Sunday. You know, there are even a couple of things that I picked up on Saturday, you know, that I walked by on Sunday, you know, it's like, oh, I got that for $4 and I thought that was a good price, but on Sunday it was $2. You know, so, you know, it's just Sunday's a good shopping day at any convention. That's, I think, kind of universal credo. But I think we talked about this once before on our San Diego show we did, you know, year and a half ago.
Well, it comes down to they don't want to have to haul it home. Because that's just time, effort, et cetera, and money they didn't get. So if they can blow it out and, you know, not have to deal with the hassle, I think a lot of you know, people at the booths are going to do that.
Right. But where I was going to is, like, you as a consumer have that choice to make, right? If you see it and you want it, well, it may be cheaper on Sunday if somebody doesn't buy it before Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So you have that thing. It's like, well, do I buy it? Or do I not buy it? And you're kind of playing that game. And it's like, well, if you really, really want something, you know, if it's something you've been looking for, you really want it a lot, you should just buy it if it's got a decent enough price and not worry about it.
That's where a show, you know, though, like Long Beach, I think, has an advantage over San Diego. Because if you walk in there, you see something at one of the first couple of booths you hit or whatever, it's like, well, you know, I'm interested in that. That looks like a good price, but you're with a show that size, it's very easy to quickly go through the rest of the hall, see if anyone else has it, see if they have it at a better price, and get back to that booth where you saw it in a reasonable enough time frame that they'll probably still have it. Now, I agree with you entirely. If you really want it, buy it then and there. But like with San Diego, I've had times in years past, it's like, wow, that looks cool. I'm thinking about it because I'm not sure I want to buy it just then. And I'll either forget where the heck the booth was or, you know, by the time I've looked at the other booths that I thought might have had a better price and get back to it, you know, they've sold it, whatever. So
well, it literally takes days to walk, you know. You can't even get through all the aisles in a day at San Diego, you know. And that's true. I mean, here you can, like, look at all the store booths and, like, you know, something under an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and then come back. I was more talking about, like, if you see something, you know, if you make the decision to wait until Sunday when it might be at a discounted rate, you know, somebody might buy it on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, certainly, certainly.
So that's the crapshoot that you make is, like, okay, you know, do they have more than one of them? And if they do, is it something that, you know, maybe it'll still be around and I can get a deal on? But, you know, it's just, they had some pretty cool stuff there, that was available that I picked up. So, you know, I was generally pretty happy with, what I had. Oh, graffiti was there. I picked up a couple of, lantern shirts.
Did they have any leftover lanterns from San Diego? I mean, the figures, action figures?
No.
I kind of figured they might have had a couple of the Green Lantern ones, not the ones that they really limited the numbers on, but I wasn't sure.
I saw people with those, but they were standing in line to get them
Jeff
autographed
Johns, probably,
by,
yeah,
you know, Jeff Johns and Peter Tomasi and those guys. I didn't see any at the graffiti booth. I got an orange lantern shirt and a red lantern shirt.
So. Cool.
Orange to wear while I'm shopping on the internet, because I epitomize that emotion.
I was going to say, that's going to get worn pretty often then.
That's right.
And you just then, got the one?
And then I got the red one for when I'm driving, I suppose.
Or for, you know, after you've worn the orange one for those eBay auctions that you don't win, you just switch to the red shirt.
My wife tells me that I am prohibited from wearing the indigo shirt.
Ah, no compassion.
Not a quality I possess.
Well, it sounds like you had a good time at the show.
Yeah, and, you know, nice time of year, nice location, you know, kind of close to Baltimore. You know, it's not something I would say if you're on the East Coast, you know, you probably don't need to fly out to the West Coast just to go to this, but you know, I think for people on the West Coast, it's definitely worth checking out.
Cool. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it? The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what we've discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.